Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Oh, we're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio. We got a great show. We're going to be talking about, for the first part, we're going to be talking about some of challenges that we're facing in life and what we can do about it, get some inspiration. And also for the second part of the show, as promised, we're going to be talking with a vaccine attorney, Alan Phillips. I know, it's kind of an odd thing. There are attorneys out there that specialize in vaccine rights for customers, you know, people, parents, all kinds of clients there, internationally as well. So Alan's going to be with us because we want to talk with him about, you know, this new H.R. 2232 bill that's been filed in the House. And it's been dubbed the Vaccinate All the Children Act of 2015.
And we'll want to get some insights from him on that and some other vaccine topics if we get time. So he's going to be with us for the second part of the show, so it'll be interesting to talk with him again. And if you want to check out his website, though, it's vaccinerights.com. If you want to check that out, you can. And we'll be talking with him real soon. Well, beautiful day here in the Carolinas. A little bit of rain this week, but we needed some. And I have been lifting up the people in Texas and all the places that have been getting a lot of flooding in prayer. I heard from a few people in Austin, Texas this week, and they've got a phenomenal amount of rain in a short time. And it's, risking, threatening their homes and so forth. So we're going to remember to pray for the people of Texas. And while we're hitting the knees and seeking the Lord's face, we want to lift up our righteous men and women in uniform. Don't forget them. And all of America. And I include all of this wonderful nation. And I ask, Lord, for righteous men of valor with wisdom and understanding, truth and knowledge. And I beseech, Lord, each day for truth and righteousness, as Isaiah 59 says we should. Now, it's God's will if he wants to, step in and help us out. But it's our job to ask. So, you never, never, ever waste a minute praying and seeking the Lord's face. So it is not time that is lost. It is well spent. And he owns everything anyway. Might as well know him by name. And he knows you. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, what do we got? We're going to New York. Apparently, the folks in New York, they're getting some tattoos, and along with that tattoos, they're getting some rashes, apparently. A little bit of rash, swelling, itching. Seems to last longer than 4 months, and in some cases, years. 6% of the city's inked populace apparently has complained about irritating medical conditions linked to the tattoo. This seems to strike at those who get injected with certain colors of ink. 44% of the people reported chronic skin conditions when they had red ink in their tattoo. 25% said it was when they had black ink. So New York situation is similar to those over in Europe, countries in Europe reporting the same thing. And over there, they track tattoos and the health associated with them. So they're not sure what's going on, but there's complications they think is tied to the chemical composition of the colored inks. And they're not really sure about the process because it's really not standardized or regulated by dye manufacturers. So it's really not known what's going on, except there may be some chemicals like preservatives or brighteners added to the ink. And these chemicals can break down over time, and maybe this is causing a problem. So those who do contract a skin condition, they said it is painful. Sores do sprout out up in between the inked parts of the tattoo. It itches, erased lesions, and of course they need to seek medical attention for that. And if you're getting tattoos, I'm not a tattoo person, but a lot of people like them. All right, moving along in the quack report, I'm going to talk about anthrax. If you haven't already heard, the government sent some live anthrax all over the place. Thought it was dead anthrax. Well, 4 lab workers in the United States, up to 22 overseas, 22 people overseas have been put on post-exposure treatment. U.S. military inadvertently shipped anthrax samples by FedEx. Maryland-based lab had received live samples, prompting a cross-the-board urgent review and track down other samples of anthrax that were shipped. And according to the Defense Department, shipments thought to be dead were shipped under less rigorous conditions than any live agent protocol would recommend. So samples left over at the lab in Dugway, Utah, they thought they were, unusable. They tested them. They said they didn't contain any live agents, so let's just ship them everywhere. Experts told the Defense Department there was no risk to the public from shipping these containers. One sample was also sent to the Joint United States Forces Korea Portal in Osan Air Base in South Korea. That sample was destroyed in accordance with appropriate protocols. 22 people there in the training lab were exposed, and they are getting examined and treated. So 5 active duty Air Force members, 10 active duty Army members, 3 civilian officials, and 4 contractors are getting preventative treatment, which would include antibiotics and vaccinations. None of the personnel have shown any signs of exposure to date. So there. Yeah. Big, big problem. Big, big, big mistake. Moving along in the Quack Report. We've been talking about technology lately in the show and some robots in our near future. Well, here we have robots once again. Robots, apparently, this is, we talked about the skin, you know, on robots, the stretchable skin that can heal themselves. But now this is about robots that can heal themselves in less than 2 minutes from more than just skin breaches. Robots can survive in extreme environments like the deepest depths of the ocean, the harsh vacuum of outer space. Major obstacles keep robots from other widespread optional jobs outside of factories because they can typically be working and then become damaged and can't work. So what they've been doing is working on this problem. So if a robot's damaged, they want the robot to repair itself. And so what they've done is they can do that, tapping into experiences from simulated lives, according to this study. 6-legged robots could adapt in little more than a minute to keep walking and working, even though 2 legs have been damaged or even broken or missing. One surprise by the co-author Jean-Baptiste Moret, he said that the extent of the damage to these robots just amazed them how quickly they were able to adapt. So he says, we subjected these robots to all sorts of abuse, and they always found a way to keep going. So they are going to send robots. They're going to be using them for finding survivors after an earthquake, to be used in dealing with forest fires, to shut down nuclear plants like in the Fukushima crisis. And they want them to be able to keep working, even if they become damaged. So I guess if you got a, you know, building that's unsafe for people to go into, they can just send the robot. All right, moving along. Last but not least, more robot news. Killer robots will leave humans utterly defenseless, warns a professor. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Yeah, this is a writing in the Journal of Nature. Stuart Russell, professor of computer science at the University of California, Berkeley, said that the research on robots could breach the Geneva Convention and leave humanity in the hands of an amoral machine race. He says robots called LAWS, L-A-W-S, which stands for Lethal Autonomous Weapons System, will be able to kill without human intervention. So these killer robots are being developed by the U.S. military, and they said they will leave us defenseless. There's 2 programs that were commissioned by the U.S. Defense Advanced Research Project, of course, DARPA, and they're seeking to create drones which can track and kill targets even when out of contact with the handler. So DARPA is currently working that project, one that is called Fast Lightweight Autonomy, which is designing tiny rotorcraft to maneuver unaided at high speeds in urban areas and inside buildings. And the other is a collaborative operation in a denied environment, and they develop teams of autonomous aerial vehicles carrying out all steps of strike missions, which they can find, fix, track, target, engage, assess any situation in which the enemy is maybe signal jamming and makes communications with their human handlers impossible. So, Angeline Kane, UN's highest representative for disarmament, said that the killer robots that they're developing, she says, are just a small step away and can be called, she's calling for a worldwide ban on them. She says the Foreign Office has said that while the technology can potentially be terrifying and having terrifying implications, Britain is reserving their right to develop robot troops. She says, now, we're not decades away, but she says just a few years away from this. So she's really upset, and I can see why. It could be hideous in a skinny minute. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thanks, Frank. Yeah. All right. We're going to be talking about up for the challenge. All right. Yeah. Well, when I wrote this piece, I wasn't thinking about robots, but okay. Challenging experiences is what I was focusing on. Because challenging experiences usually teach us the most important lessons in life. So everyone at some time or another experiences a life challenge. And many of these lessons go beyond just, you know, working longer hours or struggling to pay bills or sacrificing the non-essentials. So these are also really not milestones we're talking about, but we're talking about events of such magnitude that there is little we can do to escape them. So what we wind up doing is fighting harder than we ever thought possible to survive the event. Now, events such as these are life-changing and can test the old saying, well, what doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. But people surprise themselves every day at what they are capable of. So there are lots of books that we could read to help us cope, but personally, I want to do more than just cope with challenges. I want to conquer them. So let's take a look and be inspired by people who thought they couldn't but found out they could. John Lennon once said, "Life is what happens to you while you were busy making other plans." True. Unexpected things can crop up. So let's talk about a crisis mode for a moment. You know, I once heard a preacher say, if you are considering marriage, that you want to see that person you're considering marrying deal with a life crisis and see how they handle it. Do they fall completely apart, or do they take charge and help turn a crisis into a manageable situation? So what many people do is overreact, and then they make the situation worse. So wisdom and discernment will be critical during life-challenging events. There's this author, Arnold Glasgow. He said this: one of the tests of leadership is the ability to recognize a problem before it becomes an emergency. End of quote. True. So, you know, I think Arnold was a Boy Scout, because Boy Scouts have a perspective. They have a motto. Life-changing events are often extreme in nature, and we don't want to add fuel to the fire, but we want to diffuse the disruption and encourage a resolution. So we need to keep our cool head, and we need to focus and be able to follow through and be strong for ourselves and others. Yes, crisis mode is not an after-the-fact reaction, but it is a mental plan. It's a mental plan of action to deal with an event or make strategic changes to avoid a crisis. So the Boy Scout motto is to prepare by using beforehand thinking and practice how to act in an accident or an emergency situation so not to be taken by surprise. I think we can learn from that. Here's another quote from someone unknown. It says, a good plan today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow. You got to start somewhere, right? And we got to give, kudos where kudos is due, because we can often be our own worst enemy during challenging events. And sometimes we have to step out of the way and let God take over. So that is the ultimate trust, to fall into God's will. And numerous men of the Bible eventually learn to trust God. All you got to do is look at Jonah. So let me read you this quote from U.S. Air Force Major General Craig Olson. He says, God put me in charge of failing programs worth billions of dollars. I have no ability to do that, no training to do that. God did that. He sent me to Iraq to negotiate foreign military sale deals through an Arabic interpreter. I have no ability to do that, and I was not trained to do that. God did all that. End of quote. So he trusted in the Lord. He stepped out in faith, and he just went. And God worked through him, see? And sometimes life can really shake us up. So some common life-changing events are, you know, things like divorce or death of a spouse. So these are the two events at the top of the stress index scale. And just about anything that will change our daily routine will have some stress involved. So changing jobs, empty nesting, Christmas holidays, or a new mortgage all have impact on our abilities to manage life. So enough stress can also change a person's beliefs, behavior, and character. Now, I once heard a professional athlete say, everyone has their Mount Everest. Well, you talk about a challenge, right? Everyone has that. And God's not going to give you a challenge too big for you to bear. And some things are just outside our control. So being ready for an emergency is important, whether man-made or by natural causes. So lately, we have been witnessing some extreme weather events across the United States causing havoc for many. Really bad, severe, and deadly storms can alter our lives in a skinny minute. And sometimes there is really no time to react. Sudden physical and emotional trauma can be shockingly life-altering. So what do we do in these situations? Well, I do all I can to prepare for emergencies, and then I leave the rest up to God, because it's a hard lesson to be content with less than a favorable outcome. So we got to learn to be content with what we have and what we are able to do. So we don't want to put things off, because my grandparents often quoted Benjamin Franklin, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. So as proactive as you can be in preparing for disasters, and even then you may not have everything you need because disasters are, well, unexpected events. However, that should not deter us from being, you know, having that Boy Scout mentality, thinking ahead and acting on it. So we need to step up. A lot of us do. In 2011, Stanford University released their findings on the percentage of Americans that helped during dangerous emergencies. Maybe they took a stand against injustice or sacrificed something for a stranger. So their findings suggested that 20% of Americans have that hero gene. Movies are, you know, full of the superheroes, the fictional characters, but real heroes are ordinary people that do extraordinary things. So they also reported that Hispanics and Blacks are 2 times more likely to perform heroic deeds over other ethnic groups. So the participants in the study listed additional examples of heroic deeds as being so things like being an organ donor, a whistleblower, standing up for others who could not stand up for themselves, such as the disabled or unborn babies. So out of these statistics, 14% defied unjust authority and 8% confronted injustice. Another interesting fact is that you are more likely to become a hero if you yourself have been victimized, experienced personal trauma or disaster, or have received unsolicited kindness from non-relatives. In other words, those who have been the recipient of the heroic moment, well, they pay it forward. And there are some hero traits that came out of this study. The researchers from Stanford University produced this pattern of hero traits, which included intelligence, courage, charisma, and selflessness. So according to psychologist and author Scott Allison of Heroes, What They Do and Why We Need Them, he says, we need and love heroes because they offer us hope and inspiration. Well, all good originates with God, for that is where our hope should be and where our help comes. So our hope is in the Lord, and all good comes from Him, right? All right, so here's my picks, because I talked to a lot of people, and most of them are preparing. They have plenty of self-defense supplies. They have dehydrated food and water, but they really don't have any real medicinal supplies. Blood pressure cuffs and tourniquets and bandages are great, but they just get you so far, and it leads you to dialing 911. So trauma is going to require more. Pandemics will require more. Forced vaccinations will require more. So there are some trauma packs that you can order online, and they go beyond the normal first aid kit. For example, they may have supplies for administering stitches and extracting hard materials that shouldn't be in the body. However, they're not going to have prescription medicines or anything to counteract a vaccine. So if you have any over-the-counter products in your pack, well, they expire within 2 years. I'd prefer to have powerful antibiotic-type herbs on hand, as well as herbs for other infectious diseases like Ebola, Marburg, influenza, pneumonia, artificial infections given by vaccines, and a whole lot more. So their herbs will have this 10-year shelf life. Well, they will if you purchase them from apothecary herbs, because that's how they make them. So check out their pandemic, their heart attack, pneumonia, snake bite, and shock and trauma kits. And you want to keep them in a cool, dry place, and they will be ready when you need them. So if you're looking to do some major stocking up, you can check out their budget or no budget stock up sections. So, and also if you need to customize an order, just give them a call or email them. Their toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277. And the website is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Of course, you can get there typing in herbtalklive.com as well, and do check that out. Also, a lot of people have been asking about the Power Herb ebook. We are working at converting that into a Kindle and an iPad format, which we should have within the next 10 days. We're hoping. And you can purchase it now, but it's a PDF. So we're going to have some other options here for you shortly. It's a 400-page book. It tells you about herb symptom references. It shows you how to make your own tinctures. It shows you how to do proper cleansing to remove toxins and poisons. There's a lot of stuff in there that will, you know, get your feet wet using herbs and give you confidence so that you'll be prepared for just about anything out there. So we'll have that soon. And the book right now is on the powerherbs.com website if you want to check it out. It is just $14.99 and a whole bunch of knowledge. They're going to get you through some tough times. So we're going to have that soon, and I'll let you know when it's live on the website with the new formats there. Now, if you're on the website, please sign up for the free online newsletters. Lots of great, helpful information going out to you each and every week. There's a couple of options. There's the American Survival Newsletter, and there's the Health Quest Newsletter. Now, the American Survival will cover not only health topics, but also financial markets and political things. And then the Health Quest just solely deals with natural therapies and healing tools that you can use for yourself. And those go out each and every week, so you can sign up. They're completely free. You can share them with family and friends, and it's all about empowerment. That's what it's about. Absolutely. All right. Well, normally I just jump into the next segment with my topic, but you know what? We're going to be talking with vaccine attorney Alan Phillips. He currently lives in Asheville, North Carolina, and he works with clients all over the country and internationally. And he's all about, you know, giving people their vaccine rights, you know, back. People just struggle with this with school systems and daycare centers. So he is a good reference to have, somebody to call if you're having some problems with dealing with the authorities and you're worried about the vaccine. So he's going to be on the show, and we're going to be talking about this new federal bill and how it affects us when we come back from this break. Be right back.
Now let me get this straight. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank the board up. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank the board up. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank the board up. Put the lime in the coconut, you called your doctor, woke him up, said, doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, doctor, to relieve his belly ache. I said, doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, doctor.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Here on Herb Talk Live, and we have a special guest with us today. We have attorney Alan Phillips. He's a nationally recognized legal expert on vaccine policy and law. He advises individuals and attorneys and legislators and activists throughout the United States on vaccine exemption and waiver rights and vaccine politics and law. Now, he does host the Vaccine Agenda. It's a radio show every week, and he is published internationally on vaccine politics and law, and he speaks at rallies and conferences all over the United States, and he's regularly featured on Natural News, Green Med Info, Liberty Roundtable, and the Pastoral Medical Association, and he joins us now. Welcome to the show, Alan. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a real pleasure and honor to be back with you.
Oh, thanks, Alan. And you do work with quite a list of people, daycare workers, schools and colleges, military personnel, families, healthcare workers, employees, and you travel internationally, correct?
Well, I work with people mostly within the U.S., but occasionally internationally in the immigration arena. You know, I was really surprised when I first started doing this work as a lawyer how many different areas it turns out that vaccines are required in the U.S. It's not just for enrollment in school and daycare and college, but military members and families and civilian contractors with the military, immigrants, as I just mentioned, and that includes foreign adopted children, mm-hmm. and employees increasingly. That's been primarily healthcare workers in very recent years and primarily flu vaccines in the fall, but this is an unfolding agenda over time. So there are stated goals at the federal government level and probably elsewhere to roll out more and more vaccines for more and more people, including adults. So I think we're going to see I'm guessing, and this is, you know, it doesn't take a crystal ball to figure this out, but I'm guessing we'll see it in a big way this fall or at the latest next fall, that this will spill out over and beyond just the healthcare workers around the country, and primarily that's been hospital workers, but sure. to other employment areas, because the Department of Health and Human Services has explicit stated goals not only to vaccinate 90% of the nation's healthcare workers with the flu vaccine, for example, by 2020, but 80% of the rest of the adult population as well. So some huge goals here, and there are literally hundreds of new vaccines in development, so they're not going to stop with the flu vaccine.
Right. Well, I had always thought that they'd probably work through employers and churches and get people, you know, not only to your influenza shot, but other things as well, as you've mentioned, the adult vaccination schedule they want to launch. But we want to touch on something that you had mentioned in your newsletter, which people, I believe, could sign up for on your website, vaccinerights.com. Which is a really great newsletter. And you were mentioning the Federal House of Representatives Bill 2232, which I think is called the Vaccinate All Children Act of 2015.
Yes, right? This is a really disturbing trend, and it has yet to be seen whether this bill will really get off the ground or where it's going to go, but it's disturbing in its language and implications. But let me start with a broad concept here, because there is some confusion about this bill with respect to the authority of state versus federal governments. So as a starting place, the federal government does not have authority to mandate vaccines for state residents directly. Mm-hmm. And so this bill is not attempting to do that. What it is attempting to do is something the federal government does often when it lacks authority to require states to do something. The federal government will say, well, okay, but if you don't do it, we're not going to give you these federal dollars for this, that, or the other. So this particular bill, it wants to or seeks to amend the Public Health Service Act. And what they want to do is make grants from the federal government to states that have to do with preventive health services. They want to make these particular grants contingent upon states removing the non-medical vaccine exemptions. Now, in this particular instance, we're talking about the laws that require vaccines for school and daycare enrollment, and 48 states right now have two different kinds of exemptions, medical exemption and religious exemption. And another 18 to 20 or so states have a personal belief or philosophical exemption in addition to the religious and medical. And then there's a couple of states that only have the medical exemptions. So two states that only have medical exemptions, they want to make this 50 states instead of two states.
Right.
So it would be a really sweeping change.
It's an overhaul. Yeah,
if they were to pass this bill, it doesn't change any state laws, but it is a strong encouragement to the states to get each one of them individually to remove the non-medical exemptions. And so it's It's very disturbing in the implications there.
So in other words, you know, we're not going to send you money you're used to getting if you don't make this part of your state policy.
Exactly.
That's what the government. Well, you know, that's like a, what's the word, subsidy, you know?
or carrot.
But, well, you know, the word subsidy has a history. You know, back in 1815, it meant to pay for or to hire mercenaries or to buy an alliance or neutrality, which is another way of saying bribery. So, you know, I looked at, like you said, the carrot, but I just call it a bribe.
Or, you know, it's a coercive technique. You know,
yeah.
I agree with what you're saying, but I think of it as an attempt by the federal government to coerce the states into doing what somebody at the federal level wants the states to do. Not that there aren't.
You said that this if this goes through, this has, the potential to affect other areas, including. I think you mentioned the adult vaccination schedule that they've mentioned they want to implement.
Well, if you look at what's happened over recent decades and you look at this as sort of a direction or trend or what have you, what we've seen is more and more vaccines required for children, and increasingly over more recent years, more vaccines being required for adults. And there being, as I mentioned, literally hundreds of new vaccines in development, I don't see a light at the end of this tunnel. There's always another person to give a vaccine. There's always another vaccine to give a person. And this will keep on going nonstop. And let's look at the backdrop for a second here. First of all, there was a federal act passed in 1986, the Vaccine Injury, Childhood Injury Act, National Vaccine Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, and that act did many things, but one of the things it did was to remove liability from the pharmaceutical industry, the vaccine manufacturers in particular, or anyone administering vaccines, for the death and disability caused by vaccines. And it's really, I think, worth pausing a point here just to underscore the fact that vaccines do cause death and disability. Over the roughly now, a little more than 25 years that the federal government has been paying out money because of vaccine injury and death, in place of the pharmaceutical having liability, which it did before this 1986 act, the federal government's paid out over $3 billion. And over the life of the program that had been paying out, it averages over $110 million a year. But over the last 5 years, that average has doubled to over $220 million a year, a good portion.
That's because they pay for each vaccine they give, right? Don't they donate money into that cause for every vaccine that is, administered, or every vial of vaccine they make? I think they have to donate so much, like a penny or a dollar or something like that.
Well, I think they call it a tax. For every vaccine they sell, they have to pay, and I think it's 75 cents. But in any event, when the vaccines are sold, there's then money that goes into a fund to pay. But perhaps the most disturbing part about this program, Wendy, is there are people from in and outside of government agencies, and the FDA and the CDC, from the government side, from the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, from the National Vaccine Information Center, a nonprofit grassroots organization that has conducted its own independent surveys. All of these different agencies have said or estimated that only about 1 to 10% of the serious vaccine adverse events ever even get reported. So when we say the federal government's paying out $3 billion to date, recent years, at the rate of $220 million a year, that could be just the tip, and probably is, just the tip of the iceberg of what's actually going on. So when people say, well, yeah, there's the occasional unfortunate vaccine adverse event, but, you know, there's a net benefit. Look at all the millions of people who are saved by vaccines. Well, we don't have any data available from which to make that calculation. We can't tell exactly what the net gain or loss is, just because they're most of what goes on is not even reported. There's no figures there.
Right. And actually, you know, there's really no scientific data. Actually, do you know who Dr. Anthony Norris is? Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, I don't believe so.
Well, he passed away last year, and he was the chief medical physician. He was a virologist for the CDC's...
Morris, yeah.
Yeah, vaccine program in the 70s. And he went on the Phil Donahue show in 1976 to warn the public that the swine flu pandemic was fake, not to get the swine flu vaccine because it would cause neurological damage. And the story is the swine flu vaccine was made for the pig farmers. The pig farmers demanded a demonstration of the product, in which time they vaccinated three pigs and they collapsed and died. So the pig farmers said, don't want it. And so the only other market that the pharmaceutical industry had for that product, which they had just invested millions in, was human. So they contrived a pandemic, and Dr. Anthony Menora said there's not one case of swine flu, human swine flu, so this product's never been tested.
Right, and there was supposedly one documented case in a member of the military, if I remember correctly, and they had a few billion dollars worth of damage from the vaccines, and there were a number of documented deaths from the vaccine, but, you know, thank God they didn't lose any money on that one, you know. It's just bizarre the way the mentality runs here. They say when money reaches a certain level, it just takes priority over people's lives and well-being. It's just sort of bizarre the way that that continues to play out in society.
It's called greed, and it's wrong. But
greed's a polite word for it.
Well, anyway, bless his heart, he stepped out of the box. Of course, you know, they tried to ruin his career, but I have to applaud people that, you know, have the courage to stand up and meet that kind of a challenge, you know. But he also said that while he was at, he had a 10-year stay at the FDA, and he actually pulled all the research data on vaccines, and he says there was no scientific clinical evidence to support the claims that vaccines protect or, you know, cure you of disease. He says there is none. None.
You know, he's a hero in my book. He's an amazing guy. And there have been others who have done similar things.
Yeah.
People who have dived into the research and looked at it over long periods of time and have come to the same conclusion. There isn't any evidence that vaccines offer any significant benefit, if any benefit at all. In fact, just the opposite, that they cause significant harm. But we can look at, you know, the recent measles hype. You know, measles is a really interesting case in point to look at. Here in the U.S., no one has died from measles in the last 12 years, according to the CDC. But if you look at the official government statistics, there's a vaccine adverse event reporting system. And then the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, that's the program I was quoting dollar payouts from a few minutes ago. And we can look at these figures and see many people have died or reportedly died from measles vaccines. And there's a not a temptation, there's an actual assertion by people supporting the pro-vaccine agenda. They'll say, well, we're just victims of our own success. Vaccines have been so wonderful that the deaths from diseases have gone down, and now from time to time the vaccines actually look worse than the diseases, but we can't stop vaccinating or all these horrible diseases will come back. Well, that's not what happened when you look at the official data. On average, if you look at these childhood infectious diseases and the mortality declines, that is, the death rates from these diseases, with one exception, polio, it's a separate case, but all the other diseases, the death rate steadily declined across the 1900s and on an average of about 90% to 95% before the vaccines were even introduced in the first place. And measles is the extreme case, more like 97%. Give or take, I've seen figures a little bit either side of that, but before the vaccine was even introduced. And so vaccines are not what saved us. They are not what caused infectious disease deaths to decline. So if we were to stop vaccinating altogether, we're not likely to see a big jump in disease deaths because it's not the vaccines that caused them to go away in the first place.
Right, and I've read lots of study research reports and stuff where virologists say, you know, we just don't know enough about the immune system. You know, it's very complex. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, nice that you say this now after you start injecting disease directly into the bloodstream, bypassing the immune system. I mean, really. So I just think it's a big hypothesis. I think it's just trial and error, and I think people are we're all the lab rats, basically, I think.
Well, and there's plenty of peer-reviewed published research directly contradicting all of the assumptions and the assertions that they keep making. And as you and I both know and continue to say in different ways here.
Yeah, it's like a hockey really puck just going back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah, they're really just designed to sell vaccines. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. And when they have no liability and the federal government subsidizes vaccine research and development to the tune of billions of dollars a year, and while it's set up to look like they're paying a tax, I mean, they just raised the price of their product, and the government buys vaccines, or we buy them directly, and the government pays for the injury and death, so we're paying for all of it, and they're just laughing all the way to the bank here. And there's this wide-open door for them to ram as many vaccines down our throats as they can get away with, because it's all icing or bread and butter or whatever metaphor you want to use. It's all profit for them. You know, they're paid to make them, and then they sell them, and there's no liability.
They will, but they don't have any accountability. So, I mean, you know, they don't really have to test anything at this point, do they?
No, they don't. And the whole premise is highly suspect. For one thing, there are many, many published medical studies documenting disease outbreaks in highly and even fully vaccinated populations. And the way they measure the effectiveness of vaccines is not by trying it out in the real world and seeing how many people who get vaccinated do or don't get sick. They inject people with vaccines and see whether or not they develop antibodies. Well, there's research going back at least as far as 1950, and I say it that way because I'm aware of a particular study in 1950, but I don't know if that there aren't other studies earlier, but at least that far back, that have shown that antibody count does not necessarily correlate to protection from disease. This particular 1950s study was looking at diphtheria, and they had people with very low antibody counts who did not get sick when they were exposed, and people with high antibody counts, which supposedly means you're protected, who still got sick when they were exposed. So antibodies may be a part of the immune system, but it's only one part of a much more complex, multifaceted system.
See, that's why the virologist says we don't know enough. Well, let me ask you real quick. Are vaccines tied to any government benefits, or you know, are they tied for people qualifying for, let's say, food stamps or government housing or anything like that?
I hear from time to time people say that they are told they have to get vaccines in order to qualify for certain programs. I think the government is limited in how it can do that lawfully. Mm-hmm. Now, the government, I say government, governments, meaning you know, different state governments, federal government, different government officials and agencies within many different levels. So anyway, a lot of people in the government. But there, from time to time, there are some pretty blatant instances where people overstep their authority. So we can talk about technically what is within the power, scope, or authority of any particular government or government agency or entity. But then there's what goes on in the real world, which is not always consistent with that. You know, probably one of the most widely recognized examples is all of this controversy about the NSA. Can they really legally take all of our emails and voicemails and so forth and store it? In fact, there was just a court case recently on that found that they had violated constitutional boundaries. So that was some affirmation for those of us who have been saying, wait, what's going on here? They can't do that. But so I think they can do that in a very limited way. If somebody has religious objections to vaccines, for example, and just real briefly, because a complete explanation is quite lengthy, but when you say what qualifies for religious exemption, what we're really saying is, or another way of thinking of that is, what beliefs are protected by law as religious beliefs, protected religious beliefs. And it doesn't matter whether you belong to any organized religion at all, or it doesn't matter which one you belong to if you do belong to one. So in terms of vaccine religious exemptions, at least as a starting place, it's a wide open door. So if you have qualifying religious objections, I don't think that any state or federal government or government program could lawfully withhold government benefits on the basis that saying that you have to get the vaccines or your child has to get the vaccines. In fact, I think there's an even broader constitutional argument, because we have a constitutional right to the what's called the care, custody, and control of our children, which includes the authority to make medical decisions. And unless we are doing something that is putting our child at imminent risk or causing harm, the government can't step in and say, okay, you can't be a parent now, you know, and intervene and make those decisions for us or prevent us from making decisions.
Well, I've been hearing about schools, you know, public schools making, just vaccinating the kids, especially middle and high school, without parents' knowledge. And then the kids come home and tell their parents, and parents are livid about it, you know, especially the Gardasil or the flu shot or something. You know?
Well, yeah, there are laws in at least two states now, North Carolina and California, that allow children to consent to vaccines without parental knowledge and consent. And this is a classic example of what I was just talking about a minute ago. To me, this is blatantly unconstitutional. The
right.
State cannot take parental authority away from all parents and give it to anybody else, not even another adult, let alone give it to children.
Right.
But there's a really disturbing thing here in terms of the way that our legal system works, and that is that even though legislators all over the country take an oath to uphold their state and federal constitutions, a law is not officially unconstitutional until a court says so.
Right.
And so what that means is legislators can pass any law they want to, whether it's constitutional or not, and then it's up to us to either get them to fix it or to challenge it in court and see if the court will agree with us that it's unconstitutional. And so what this really means is they can do whatever the heck they want to.
Until we call them on it. Right. Well,
yeah.
We're almost out of time. We're almost out of time, Alan. I do want to mention that you do have a book. Alan's got an e-book. It's called The Authoritative Guide to Vaccinate Legal Exemptions, to Vaccine Legal Exemptions. And how can they get this book?
It's available at my primary website, vaccinerights.com.
Awesome. They can just – now, this is an e-book, so you only deliver it by email, of course. A lot of people forget, you know, I want a hard copy. It's just an e-book. So is this in Kindle, an iPad, or a PDF? How is it formatted?
It's a PDF document.
Okay, got it. Now, if anybody wanted to get in touch with you, what is the phone number you'd like them to call you at?
Well, they can reach me by email at attorney@vaccinerights.com, and the contact information is on vaccinerights.com, but the phone number is area code 828-575-2622.
Awesome. Well, you know, you've just been full of lots of great information, and I'm probably only touched the tip of the iceberg today. But we're so glad we have people like you that, you know, help people retain their rights as much as possible. And we just need to, you know, be vigilant and stand up for our rights, challenge any injustice, especially, you know, our God-given rights. And I think, you know, our kids' health and our health is part of that. And they're not privileges, they're rights. So let's stick with that. That's what I say.
Well, you got to find out what your rights are and be willing to take some steps to enforce them in this arena in many instances, because there are often people on the other side who will overstep their boundaries, whether they know it or not, to try and impose their preconceived notion about it being critical and important to get vaccines. So,
yeah, for the benefit of all, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, Alan, I know you've got lots to do. I won't keep you, and we'll try to have you back on again when we can cover more ground. But thank you so much for joining us tonight, and you have a great evening.
You too. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Definitely great to have Alan on the show. Of course, vaccinerights.com is the website. You can call him at 828-575-2622. That is 828-575-2622. That's Eastern Standard Time if you want to get in touch with Alan. He's great. We're out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. So seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.